now number one for podcasting.
The PSAs you hear on Miller and Condon and iHeartMedia Des Moines are presented in part by NCMEC. We take care of our own. Now, here's Miller and Condon.
Gotta know who that is.
Might be Michael Barbera. That's at least where the video originally comes from. This is what you're talking about, the end of the hour. With Rex Chapman and his Twitter account. Yeah, I think that's what it is, at least when you click on it. Michael Barbera. B-A-R-B-E-R-A. The original song, remember, was written by Lauren Daigle. So there you go. Some
brings
listening for
chills
you.
To me, Trent. That dude's voice.
It was really good.
Oh my god!
And the pictures to go along with it.
Oh, you
got to
see it. You got to see it.
The doctors and nurses with the bruising on their face from wearing masks all day long. Mm-hmm. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it really is. Catch Des Moines trying to get us through these times. They're playing a huge, huge role as they always do. A really good organization. Brock Conrad is back with us. Brock, thank you for yesterday. We clearly shortchanged you on time. There's so much stuff that we want to, you know, get out there and alert our audience on, but restaurant radio, we had so many restaurants yesterday that we had to squeeze in. Anyways, Brock, thank you for being flexible and joining us here today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. And no worries. Appreciate what you guys are doing for the community, too.
Seriously, we wish we could do more, and we'll continue to do so until we get through this. So yesterday, you were sharing some of the stuff that you're doing, and I don't want to call you a clearinghouse, but, you know, a lot of the ideas seem to funnel through Catch Des Moines. Maybe that's an unfair description, but what some of the stuff that you guys are doing over there, Brock?
Yeah, we definitely are kind of putting out a lot of different ideas, but it's a big collaboration with many other community partners. The Greater Des Moines Partnership, we've worked closely with them. Also, you know, I think there's been some collaboration going on with Des Moines Register to kind of push out these good stories and to basically just kind of get everybody on one page and really support the small local business community here in Des Moines and make sure that they're going to get through this tough time.
You know, we've talked obviously in our program a lot about the restaurants, but they're not alone. And so many of these different businesses have closed their doors and have been mandated to close the doors. Do you guys have a place or know of ways that you can get involved? There's been a lot of talk getting a gift card, you know, getting something that you can use in the future for the flower shop up the street, the record store, whatever it may be, places where you can go and still contact these businesses that are closed currently, but still be able to help them out with some cash flow.
Yeah. If you go to our website, catchdesmoines.com/support-local, all one word, you can find a lot of great information there. We have something that we talk about, our new newsletter that we have. It's called The Good News, DES, Good News, like Des Moines. And that's basically kind of, it's taking place. Every week we typically would do the events going on that week and stuff to look forward to, almost kind of like a weekly planner type of email. We've recently switched that over to kind of talk about all the good news that's happening right now in the community and making sure that we're highlighting a lot of the positive stories about Central Iowa and local businesses. So you can find that there, a blog post about how people can stay safe and support local businesses. We also are launching a new blog post that talks about all the virtual attraction tours that people are able to take advantage of right now. And then we also have information about how you can get updated restaurant and retail info and help small businesses with the resources there. You know, along with that, you kind of mentioned it. We recently launched this DSM Local Challenge. It's a Facebook and Twitter and Instagram kind of challenge that we put out for a lot of the locals. And it's to really kind of help people buy gift cards from local retailers, order takeout from local restaurants, curbside pickup. Also, you know, to buy gift cards and season passes for attractions. I think that's a really big thing now, too. Mm. You look at like things like the, you know, the zoo or Adventureland or, you know, just getting out there and getting season passes for when we are able to go out and enjoy these things, that we're able to do that, but also to support those businesses right now. when they're really needing it. And, you know, that goes for our hotels, too. You know, we're really trying to support our local hotels. They're hit very hard right now, too. So buying gift cards from them so you can do staycations maybe in the city this summer and this fall, that's a great way to support them also.
Yeah, there's so much stuff that that you guys are making the community aware of. I love Day Good News. I like it. The good news, everybody wants it apparently. Boy, you've had a ton of people. Did I see over 4 million people have found that on social media so far? That's a remarkable number. 4 million impressions already?
Yeah, when we actually launched the campaign, which was a week ago today, last Friday, just in the first 3 days, we had almost 4 million impressions, thousands of shares locally with the hashtag. So it's really taken off, and it's just a huge testament to our community.
Yep.
That we're all able to rally around together. You know, we're all kind of one family here. Really pushing the same message and the same support for everybody. So it's really great to see, you know, especially in a challenging time like we're all having right now. It's just really great to see it.
Yeah, the hashtag DSM Local Challenge. There is a little nugget that you included in here that somebody bought over 500 box lunches for the local truck drivers. Coming downtown from Ankeny, that's essentially what all you see is, you know, delivery trucks. And, I mean, these men and women, they're still working. They have to keep the food chain and the delivery chain going. You don't know... you know, you don't appreciate, maybe. I guess that's what you're going. Some of the other people, some of the stuff other people do to keep our community churning. And then you see somebody reaching out and providing 500 box lunches. Well done. That's terrific.
Yes, it's one of the greatest ones that we've seen so far with this challenge. And that's super important to see stuff like that. But, you know, also on the flip side, every little bit counts. You know,
sure.
Every single person that does take out and talks about it and tags 3 friends to do the same. Big and large, everything really matters this time. So, yeah, but that's a great story. I love seeing that.
You know, as we look to the future here, and most importantly right now, we're trying to help these businesses in our community stay together, keep afloat before we get past this. And it'll eventually happen. Who knows when we get to that point. But what do you look to the future? I mean, it has to create for you guys even more ideas that you guys can do in the future to better serve the community. And you guys do such a great job of that.
Right, yeah. And, you know, for what we do at Catch Des Moines, you know, our job is to bring visitors into the city and spend money in our restaurants and our hotels and our attractions. And well, that's kind of a challenge right now. You know, when we are able to open up the gates, so to speak, I feel like this tough time has really made our partnership with all those different community members even greater and stronger. So when we do come through this on the other side, we're going to double down on our marketing efforts to really get everybody back up and running as much as possible, you know, because that's our job. We are the marketing engine for Greater Des Moines, yeah. And that's what we'll do. And so, you know, right now our focus is on local and providing as much resources and effort as we can locally. But when we're ready to do it, we're going to be here to really drive visitors back to our city.
Brock Conrad from Catch Des Moines. Brock, just one more from me, and I know it's probably too early, but I'm assuming that this discussion is happening. We're on the precipice of all these farmers markets. We still got some time, right? But, you know, the downtown one is first, and then all the other communities, they jump on sometime in May. Some of them wait till June and then go all through the summer until October. Those have got to be some difficult decisions that those folks are having, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think everybody is affected by it. When you look at events coming up, you know, whether that's postponing them, you know, just by a little ways or putting them out into the fall. A lot of people are doing that. I think it's a safe place. It's a safe way to go. But at the same time, you know, we're really excited for when those quote unquote gates open again for us to be able to really push all that information and those events to come back out. But I think just everybody's taking it week by week and, you know, kind of seeing where this plays out and stuff. So we can't wait until we are able to really get everything going again.
Brock Conrad joining us from Catch Des Moines. Brock, anything that we missed? Anything you want to throw out there? Anything that we didn't get on our list here that you want to get out there for the people to understand or remember that you have going on?
I think we hit everything, but, you know, just really want to keep encouraging people, if you're listening, to go out there and support your local businesses. Now is more than ever the most important time to do that. So continue to do that. hashtag DSM Local Challenge and tag three of your friends to do the same, and let's keep this momentum going.
Brock, good stuff. We'll find some time for you next week. We should probably do this as we get through this, to make the community aware, and we will do our part. You guys at Catch Des Moines clearly do yours. Brock, have a good weekend. Thank you for coming on.
Same to you guys. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You do the same. Brock Conrad from Catch Des Moines. As we catch up with what's going on in the local community. All right, we're going to catch up with Alex Halstead in a few minutes. We'll do some Iowa State stuff. You said that they got a linebacker earlier this week. Did you see that?
They did, yeah. Outside linebacker, a three-star. Have to re-jog the memory. You know,
all of this stuff kind of back burner, right?
It really does. And I was listening to something this morning, a podcast, and they said, it was 2 weeks ago. We had sports 2 weeks ago.
That's it.
In a way, it feels like a decade ago.
Yeah.
And then the other way is we've only gone through this for 2 weeks. Right. And we have another 6, 8, 10, 12, however long still in front of us. It's kind of crazy just how your mind can play tricks on you when you're not in your routine. You're a routine guy. I'm somewhat of a routine guy. Everybody has a certain routine, I think, that they go through on a day-to-day basis. And to be pulled out of that and to think, 16 days ago, we were watching Nebraska in the Big Ten tournament take on Indiana.
That's right.
It was only 16 days ago. Yet,
and Hoiberg, sick as a dog on the bench, right? That's the first thing that resonated to me. And then that same night, Rudy Gobert, who came across as a complete you-know-what.
Yep.
Here's the thing. At the morning, and there was Bama Bob, who tweeted this out a couple of days later, and I thought, you know what, Bama? You might be onto something here. Rudy Gobert, for as big of a Richard as he was,
Yes.
If he doesn't start this trend,
how much worse could it have been?
Precisely.
No, it's a great point. And it makes sense. And we see the way that this thing can just grow and build so quickly. And talking about basketball, guys, you're guys up sweating against each other. And yeah, you're coughing as you do have a little something, but you're still playing. And just how much worse this could have been. We're still talking about fans in the stands a couple of days leading into that. And then
the booing at the Big 12 tournaments and the Big 10 tournament when they announced that this is it, we're shutting down. Fans in the building. And you heard it. I mean, there was media there covering Iowa State on opening night of the Big 12 tournament. And they all heard it and all put it on their Twitter feed. And at the time, right, I'm not being critical to those folks that made their way down to Kansas City and heard that, and nobody knew.
No, you didn't know what it was, and you're out there, you're on a vacation, you're having fun.
It's you look forward to this year to year to year, right? You want to go follow your school down there. You'll be there longer some years than you are the other. You'll have more fun than you will. Like, Iowa State fans have been spoiled down in Kansas City. And Kansas City has been spoiled by Iowa State fans, let's be honest. The Power and Light District, service industry's been, they missed the clones.
They're going to be asking for a July tournament. Hey, can we get those cyclo fans
down here
again?
By the way, speaking of tournaments in July, who put this out? I don't remember who put it. I saw it on Matt Yeomans, who's at Vissen. Vegas and the NBA may work together. Did you see that?
VSiN's been talking about this a lot.
Have they?
I've heard a couple of different things on their airwaves about that. And for
those of you who don't know, that is Brent Musburger's baby, if you will.
Yes, comes live from the South Point Casino.
Mm-hmm. You were on it.
Yes, I was on it.
Yes, you were.
As my buddy Chris hooked me up there. Speaking of that, I know I've had a couple of people ask Chris with the health concerns that he
Chris
has.
Chris Andrews, right?
I reached out with him, I guess it was last week, and just talked via email for a while. He saw my tweet that I was betting on Aussie rules football. He wanted to check in on me too, make sure I was doing okay. But Chris is doing great. He's at home. He's not able to leave at all because of those health issues, but he's feeling great and everything's good there. No people that have listened to us throughout the years and got to know Chris have gone out to the South Point. He's just such a gregarious, fun guy to be around. He'll say hi. He'll shake your hand. Well, maybe give you a
anymore,
fist bump.
Won't.
Right?
Yeah.
But a great person there. He's doing well. And, the NBA possibly playing the playoffs in Vegas.
Right. Kind of like they would do with the Pac-12 or any of the other tournaments.
Well,
they use all
so
the
many
venues.
There.
That's just it.
So you can have, all right, we got a game happening at the Orleans. Uh-huh. We got one happening at MGM. And we have one at T-Mobile. And we have one and on and on and on. And you can
Thomas and Mac.
Boom. There's four series going on at the same time.
Yeah. It makes sense.
It does.
You know, Vegas is, everybody's been hit hard.
Yes.
And as we learn more about this, this was one of the things I kept harping on. Vegas is going to get clobbered, right? Mm-hmm. Vegas doesn't know it yet, but they are a petri dish because everybody from all over the world goes there.
No doubt.
And the decisions that they made to shut down essentially the biggest, not essentially, the biggest industry in the entire state and to do so for the length of time that they have, but they made the right decision. But if indeed, or no, not when indeed we get back, maybe Vegas hosting that does make some sense. That would be... that'd be fun.
It would.
Yeah. And you know what? I bet the pros, would they? Because for the most part, most of them played, I would assume, in a conference tournament their sure. 1 year in yep. college basketball. So I think they'd go for it. Anyways, at this point, we'll go for anything, right? We'll go for Alex Halstead next. That's not a good segue. It sounds like Alex is, we don't want to have him on. And
no.
That couldn't be further from the truth. But before we do that and go to break, it's time for KXNO and iHeartRadio to help you with your bills. Text the keyword family to 200-200 right now. That's your chance to win $1,000. Family to 200-200.
You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest.
We will recap our week of restaurant radio before we get out of here at noon, but we've got some Iowa State business next. Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO and 106.
Ken Miller, Trent Condon, Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO.
And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Governor Kim Reynolds' press conference at 2:30, but apparently, according to the Des Moines Register, breaking news, 56 more positive tests today on COVID-19, and another two Iowans, sadly, have lost their lives.
Oh, man.
Lost the fight to the disease. So Kim Reynolds at 2:30 with more on that. But let's get into fantasy land, which is sports.
Yes.
For us. Restaurant Radio will recap what we did coming up in about 15 minutes. But Alex Halstead joins us. We haven't talked to hardly any Iowa State this week. You know, next week we should get John Walters in here.
Mm-hmm.
John is and his staff over there at Cyclones.tv. Putting together all of these games.
Yes.
You know, good for them for doing that. They've got that huge library, and mm-hmm. they're taking advantage of it right now, and I think that that is placating in a lot of ways.
No doubt. Right? Anything to pass the time.
Indeed. Alex Halstead joins the program, CycloneAlert.com, part of 24/7 Sports. Alex, Trent and Ken, thanks for coming on. Bob Bowlesby, teleconference yesterday, multiple members of the Big 12 media. A big dose of reality is kind of how I came away from, and I didn't listen to it, admittedly, but I certainly saw a bunch of recaps from it. A big dose of reality of potentially what lies ahead. Is that how you took things, Alex?
Yeah, the main thing is just the Big 12 has, you know, certainly lost a little bit of money. I think that kind of follows suit with what we saw come out from the NCAA, that, you know, what they're going to be putting out towards member institutions is going to be quite a bit lower. I think, you know, in recent years, it's been about $600 million. This year, it's going to be more like $225 million. That's from the NCAA. The Big 12 thinks it's probably lost. I mean, they don't have an exact number, but I think it was, you know, $6 to $10 million or so. But they still have some reserve funds. So, you know, kind of like anything going on with this pandemic, any kind of business or anything, you know, that's not immune to, say, college athletics. And, you know, most people, you know, think and know that a lot of these places have reserve funds and they're making a lot of money anyways. But I think it could be interesting to see if this continues to have an impact down the road, because a lot of schools do spend what they make. And that's why you're seeing all these facilities and stuff go up. And so, you know, various schools have different amounts of reserve funds, but this year they'll be getting a little bit less from the NCAA and from the Big 12.
I'm sure there's already contingency plans being in the works from athletic directors and their departments across the country. At Iowa State, ticket revenue, upwards of what, $15, $20 million, I think I've seen some estimates, as it pertains to ticket revenue. If that doesn't come in for football this season, even if there's a season played, but you're doing it not in front of the fans, TV money's great. But you're also such a big part of that is the people that are coming in there, concessions and everything that go along with it here. Do you know reserve-wise what Iowa State has on hand? And have you talked to anybody, the planning stages that they're going through right now?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the reserve is so far. I think they've actually been pretty good with their budget in recent years. That's one thing that Pollard has become well-known for, is that, you know, he's been pretty good at, you know, breaking even, if not saving money. But that might be actually something to start talking to him about and the athletic department about in the coming weeks, depending on how things continue to unfold, because you've kind of seen the initial reaction to it. And the first wave is that most schools, including Iowa State, have extended their season ticket renewal dates. You know, I think, you know, probably help people make a decision of if it's going to financially make sense for them down the road. But then if you start to get into a situation where there is anything and this does carry on and affects anything in terms of attendance and that sort of thing, that does become a question. Because like you said, the money's there from ESPN and Fox and that package. And I think that averages about $25 to $30 million per year per school in the Big 12. And so you got a lot of money coming in that way. But you do have quite a bit of money coming in from the actual game day experience, which includes tickets and concessions. So it's going to be interesting to kind of see how that continues to unfold if things don't kind of get wrangled here a little bit. So that might be something in the coming months that, you know, Jamie Pollard will have to talk about. And I know some schools, I saw some reports this morning, but they're at least doing projections of what different scenarios might look like.
Mm. And to no one's surprise, Tyrese Haliburton made it official that he is going to leave Iowa State and be part of the NBA draft, and he's going to hear his name called and hear his name called very early, maybe somewhere between 6 and 10. And by all accounts, it seems like he is going to go in the NBA lottery. And you know what? You guys had to ask the question when you had Prohm on, you know, talking about Haliburton. You had to ask the question about the remainder of the roster. He didn't want to go there, which I applaud him for doing that. He wanted to make it, you know, Halliburton's day. So I get where you guys were coming from, and I get where the coach was coming from. But Haliburton has made it official. We'll do the roster in a second, but just the Tyrese Haliburton news, and seemingly, you know, Iowa State made an impact on him without a doubt.
Yeah, Steve Prohm said in an ideal world, they had hoped to have a press conference and kind of do the whole thing like maybe you saw with, say, Royce White several years back. But, you know, because of what's going on, there had to be a teleconference. And so maybe it didn't feel as much of a celebration as just a quick interview. But yeah, that's why they wanted to keep it focused on him, is what Prohm said. But, yeah, this is not shocking news. I mean, it's what we've kind of talked about for several months, I think, especially as the season went on, and even after he got hurt, you were still seeing him. You know, ESPN's pretty good at this stuff. Those people from Draft Express, and they've had him anywhere from like 4 to 7. Right now, he's number 7 in the 2020 NBA draft. Not necessarily projected, but their 7th best player. And I think CBS Sports has had him going in the top 5. So by all accounts, he's a guaranteed lottery pick, it looks like, and potentially even a top 10 and right outside that top 5. Area right now by most people. So this is the decision he had to make. You know, Steve Prohm was asked, you know, what would you have said if he said he wanted to come back? And, you know, most kids are going to go, but Haliburton's a kid that, you know, and he said it himself, that it was tougher the decision than maybe it looks like, because, you know, he said, while some kids in this situation always just want to leave school, you know, he kind of liked being at Iowa State in terms of the university part, and he would have been happy, he said, if it was like football and he had to come back for a third year. He said he would have gladly been back for his junior year, but he said, you know, this just makes too much sense. I mean, you can't turn down that guaranteed money for his family and that sort of thing. So it makes sense, but, you know, Haliburton at least said it was a tougher decision than maybe it looks like, just because he's not someone, I don't want to throw it out there, but like not someone like, say, Lindell Wigginton last year that wanted to get out of college.
Mm-hmm. No, it makes a lot of sense, and I think well put there. Alex Halstead joining us, CycloneAlert.com. A question I really enjoyed in the press conference, he was asked about being the first ever NBA player from his hometown of Oshkosh, Wisconsin, which, I mean, what a thrill that has to be. Legacy, and to be able to do that, be the first from your town to be an NBA player, pretty cool for Tyrese.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of crazy to think about. I remember talking to him when they were recruiting him, and it was obviously several summers ago, but I just remember talking to him because he had left his visit, and his mom was with him, and I think his brother was maybe at Iowa Western or Iowa Central, actually, I think at the time. And so those three were on the trip, and he was driving back home, and he called me, and just for kind of a recruiting update. You know, that's kind of a big thing, obviously, at Cyclone Alert and 24/7. And so I was doing a recruiting update, and he was kind of talking about, you know, how Ben Jacobson and them were pitching him on playing a 1-2 punch with A.J. Green and Iowa State was pitching him on kind of, you know, being their kind of key guy, but he wasn't this highly recruited guy at the time. And even when all was said and done, he was kind of like number 170, 172. And to think that he goes from that, you know, at one point being an Iowa State U and I battle, you know, in the 170s recruiting wise from, you know, Oshkosh, which, like you said, never had an NBA player. And, you know, 2 years later, he's a projected top 10 pick. It's just kind of crazy how quickly he transformed and how under the radar he really was coming out of high school.
Alex Halstead's our guest. Alex, Caleb Grill undergoes surgery. He had a broken wrist. Halliburtt had a broken wrist. Bolton had a concussion. And all three of those student-athletes were sent back into the game, and I'm sure that they asked to get back into the game. But for three guys to be able to do that, and, you know, a brain injury and two broken bones in wrists, and to find out that, you know, that they went back in with those injuries, doesn't sit right.
Yeah, it's a little bit concerning. And like you said, I know I wouldn't want that job of making those decisions, and especially in sports where, you know, you look at football or basketball, a lot of those kids want to go back in, and they're pushing to go back in. And so it's not the easiest job in the world, and I understand that. But like you said, they've now had two kids who played on broken wrists. They've had the concussion, which Bolton came back in for just a few minutes, but then he missed the rest of the season because of it. And
right.
You even throw in Trey Jackson, who broke his nose and came back in, and then he missed the next game with it. So, you know, they've had four guys who've had various injuries, came back to the game, and then missed time or later were proven to be maybe more severely injured than we thought. So that's maybe something they have to kind of take a look at, because those numbers added up quick. And, you know, the Grill thing, we knew his wrist was injured, but I don't know how you don't detect that it was maybe fractured.
Yeah, it's crazy, and certainly something that bears looking at going forward. Finish up with a little football with Alex Halstead. A commitment this week for the 2021 recruiting class from Chicago. Tell us about Aiden Ralph.
Yeah, Aiden Ralph's a kid that they brought in March, right before kind of this whole recruiting world got shut down. So they got him in. They offered him then, and they were kind of for sure the leader from there on. I mean, it would have been interesting to see going into the spring what other offers he might have gotten. You know, he's kind of another type of linebacker that they've added in recent classes. You look at Hunter Zenzen and Cole Peterson in the last class. They were both 6'3", 6'4". Mike Rose in a previous class was, you know, around 6'3". They're starting to try to get those linebackers that are, you know, 6'2", to 6'4", and can kind of do a lot of the same things. And that's what Aiden Ralph is. He's 6'3", 195 going into or coming out of really his junior year of high school. And so, you know, I think they think he's that prototypical linebacker that's fit their 3-3-5 system in recent years. And he gets on their first defensive guy, but it's going to be an interesting few weeks ahead. I think the recruiting stuff is obviously on hold till at least April 15th. You would probably expect that to get pushed back a little bit more, but they're still moving forward with some different guys. You know, there's a defensive tackle down in Kansas City that I think they're trending well with. It's down to them in Iowa for Brody Brecht, although that's going to probably linger into the summer. T.J. Bowles is still expected to visit in June. And there's a running back down in Kansas City that they're trending well with, probably them in Iowa as well. So there's still a lot of battles, and it'll be interesting to see do some of these decisions get put on hold or do some of the kids pull the trigger like Aiden Ralph did this week, even amidst kind of this recruiting dead period.
Alex Halstead, CycloneAlert.com, part of 24/7 Sports. Alex, talk to you next week. Thank you.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Alex Halstead on Iowa State. You just tweeted out some Big 12 odds.
Yes.
Some interesting odds here. Oklahoma, no surprise, the favorite to win the conference, then Texas. Oklahoma State with all that all that offense coming back. And then the Clones at 12-1 to win the Big 12. It's a big drop. I mean, Oklahoma State 6-1 and then 12-1 for Iowa State. No 8-1s, no 10-1s, nothing like that.
Give you a $100 free bet right now.
I'm going to bet Oklahoma State.
Iowa too. I like that Cowboy team.
I do too, and I like 6-1. If you got to bet, it's minus money on Oklahoma. You got to bet 125 to make 100. Texas. They're always going to be over bet. And then Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Baylor 16-1, West Virginia also 16-1.
What about TCU?
You know, Trent, I'm with you. 28-1 is too high.
That is too high. Last year, I mean, quarterback getting beat up throughout the year. Poor kid from Council
Bluffs,
Max Duggan. Now, again, we get into these things. All right, he's healthy. He's coming back. He didn't get spring practice.
Yeah.
And for a young quarterback, that's a big difference there. But at 28-1, that's worth a look at the very least.
I'm with you. That's what I thought as well. But I think Oklahoma State's laying there at six.
Yeah.
If it's not, remember the conversation we always, well, if it's not Oklahoma or Texas, who? Well, it's Iowa State. This was the conversation last year. Oklahoma State's that team this year.
Cowboys.
Them Cowboys. We'll take a break. Trent and I are going to recap our week in restaurant radio. It continues on next week. You want on? You want in? It's no charge to do this. KenMillerShow@gmail.com or on Facebook.
Yeah, just look me up, Trent Condon. You can find me over there. Hit me up that way. If you want to email me, TrentCondon@gmail.com. KenMillerShow@gmail.com for Ken. We'll get you in the queue and get you rolling next week. Going to look back and give you some ideas for this weekend.
Yes.
Some great takeout options, the people we talked to this week.
Indeed. That's coming up next as we take you until noon, our final segment of the week. Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 106.
And their families.
Of the week, Trent Condon. We made it through another week. Miller and Condon, 10 to noon, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. Well, if you listen to the program this week, Trent and I welcomed, I don't know how many restaurants, probably up, we're right around 30,
yeah,
right? Somewhere in the neighborhood,
right,
of 30 restaurants came on and shared their plans to, you know, what they're going to do to get through these times. And you know what? Maybe one of my bigger takeaways was just the support of the community that are reaching out and ordering to go and ordering delivery, curbside pickup, trying to do their part to help, you know, some of these small businesses get through just like everybody else is.
And as my wife, she's getting very nervous about what we have at home. She went to both Hy-Vee and Costco, I think, 5 consecutive days 2 weeks ago. We still have tons of food in the house.
Do you?
But now she wants to make a menu and she wants to kind of open it up. But you also have to remember she's at home with breakfast and lunch every day with the kids. And because of that, I said, well, let's make sure that we also, as we're putting these meal plans together, we get a couple at least takeout items. I can either pick it up or we can drive around and one of us can pick it up from one of these many restaurants that we're talking about. So made sure she add that into our calendar going forward too. And I think we're going to hit a couple coming up this weekend.
Well, that's good. Well, we're going to give you the list that we went through here in just a minute. How many beers have you got at the house?
Not many. I'm actually running very short on that. That is the next Hy-Vee stop. I'm also going to put that on the list because I am dwindling down. Eesh. I think inside of 10.
Wow.
It's getting scary. Now, I have tons of
I've
booze.
I've got over 100.
I figured that was one place you were certainly going to be stocked up on. I have a lot of alcohol with bottles. I never drink.
Nor do I.
I bottles of whiskey. My wife's a whiskey drinker. She doesn't hardly drink at all anymore. Maybe I'm going to start tapping into those a little bit more. Have a stiff cocktail to end the evening.
Well, then,
like a bad thing.
Then you can video it and put it on Twitter. You know all these guys, the guys that are doing the bourbon reviews now?
Yeah,
maybe you'll stumble into something. Well, let's do this, Trent. As we take a look back at our week in restaurant radio again, and we're going to do it again next week. If you haven't jumped on board, small businesses, small restaurants, even if they're chained, most of them are locally owned. All of them employ Central Iowans. You're welcome to participate as well. We do it for about an hour on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And if you'd like to join us on air, just go to KenMillerShow@gmail.com or your Facebook, Trent.
You can find me just at Trent Condon. Hit me up that way. Send me a message on Facebook and we'll get you hooked up. You can hit us up on Twitter too.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find you that way. A lot of different ways just to get involved. And again, it doesn't have to be yours. If it's a buddy of yours,
right,
and they're not a sports talk radio listener, and you want to pass it along to them, certainly have them
Absolutely.
Reach out to us. Again, this is no cost. We're not charging for this. This isn't anything where you have to buy inventory, you have to buy commercial time, nothing like that. This is no cost. This is just a way to spotlight these Central Iowa businesses.
No doubt about it. And we believe in what we're doing, and we're going to keep on doing it. So who did we have on Tuesday?
Tuesday, our list, we started with Claxons, our good friends over there. Of course, our Friday Claxons contest, which would normally be happening right now.
Thank you, Andy, for all you've done for shows I've been a part of over the years. And Claxons, I've already hit the drive-through window. And Claxons, they let off restaurant radio.
They did. We also talked to Kenny out at Plaza Pub.
And Kenny's Ribs.
And Kenny's Ribs, which sound incredibly good. A guy that you know very well, Ryan Greening, over
Keg Stand.
With the Keg Stand, and also
Eggs and Jam,
eggs,
right?
Eggs and Jam. You're looking for some breakfast this weekend. Don't want to get up. Don't want to do anything there. They'll help you out over on EP True. Okoboji Grill, our friends over in Jasper County, the one in Newton. Okoboji Grill, a name that a lot of people remember from here. That is still open, though, over in Newton. So if you're over that way, certainly help them out at Okoboji Grill. Gusto Pizza Company. We talked about just how great that name has been in another place, that a couple locations here across the metro, West Des Moines here on Ingersoll, also with Gusto Pizza. Barntown Brewing. It was fun talking with JB, and that's a place you can tell, another one that is understanding the spotlight and hearing the support that the community out there on the West Des Moines, Waukee edge of town, how they're supporting Barntown. That has been really cool to see.
No, it really has, Trent. And yeah, that was one of the conversations I remember very well. And best of luck to them.
Tony at Hessen House and Fong's Pizza. It's Friday. They got their big fish and chips going on here for the Lenten folks. And, of course, Fong's Pizza with the always famous
Crab Rangoon. Have you tried it?
Oh, yeah. It is a must every single time.
Is it really?
I'm not a big fan of just normal Crab Rangoons. They're okay. But not my favorite when we go out and get Chinese.
Yeah.
I'll have one if my wife orders
it's
couple.
It's a good appetizer, yeah.
The pizza, though, is amazing.
Is it really? I've never been there.
So good. There's one right up for
the street
from
you. Prairie Trail. There's one in Prairie Trail.
All right, there. Yep. Scrunch, you guys are getting Fong's.
There we go.
This weekend and getting the Crab Rangoon. The Iowa Tap Room. I talked to, we were talking to Tim. That's one of my buddy's favorite stops when he comes to town. Can't
Food
wait for that.
Food is so
to open
popular
up.
There, Trent.
Yes, they do a really good job. How about Truman's? Pizza.
Yeah.
And
Chiefs fans,
yes. Don't have to be a Chiefs fan to eat there, though. Truman's Pizza, they do a great job. And you'll have to help me out with this one because you said Apasto. That's something that...
It's in the old La Scala. It's an old house. The Gateway Market right here.
Yeah.
It's almost across the street.
Oh, I know exactly where you're talking about, and I just never even realized that these are... The unearthing these gems, too, has been a fun part about this. Just places you've never heard of.
Yeah.
I didn't know this place existed. I looked at their webpage, and that looks like, again, when normalcy returns... That's going to be a good date night for the wife and
I. Oh, it really is a really good date night. Yeah. But we were at La Scala. I have not been to Apasto yet, but I know they're doing family style to go take out, and they're doing gangbusters, which is great.
You love to hear those kind of stories. So that was our Tuesday list. Then on Thursday, it continued, and we hit a ton more on Thursday.
Yeah, we hit the Jethro's, the folks from Jethro's, all the locations. They've got their full menu going at Jethro's, all of them throughout Central Iowa.
I took the back way home Wednesday from work, and the Southside Jethro's, the old Orlando's location.
Yeah,
they're taking over there.
I didn't know that.
And I looked on the webpage, on Jethro's webpage. They're coming along. They're basically gutted the place and going to be starting there. But we'll also get now a Southside Jethro's location coming up in the coming months, which will be really cool to see.
You know, when I first became here in 1989, Orlando's Pizza is on Forest.
Park.
Well, they're the original by Drake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's there anymore, but boy, that was a popular spot. You couldn't get in. Just a tiny little place. So good, but then they moved over to Park. But, now it's going to be, as you mentioned, a Jethro's. Firebirds, West Des Moines. I've eaten lunch there before. They got a really good menu. And EJ Na over there, the chicken. Angie, you've been to the chicken.
It's my favorite fried chicken, roasted chicken joint in town. I've looked for a long time. It's probably, I would have to say after pizza, fried chicken's my favorite meal.
I love fried chicken.
It is so, so good. But I never found that one that was as good as the best that I had. I think I found it at the chicken. And their chicken sandwiches on top of it, absolutely incredible. They do a great job. And it's off the beaten path a little bit.
Yep.
But
Orilla, really cool. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Have you ever been there?
I don't know where it is.
So I worked with a family when I was teaching special needs kids, and they lived right in that area. So we'd actually kind of cut through this little township, Orillo, and it reminded me of the town I grew up of 40 people right next to Osage. It's that kind of community, but it's right on the bike trail on your way to Cumming.
Yeah.
It's right before, probably 3-4 miles, I think, before you get to Cumming there. It's a really cool stop there, and they do great work. The chicken... But it's more than just chicken there, too.
Indeed it is. Buzzard Billy's, they've been so popular. Of course, so close to Wells Fargo Arena, all the concerts that's in the games, etc. That's a must-stop. We had so much fun there broadcasting our show. When the tournament, that tournament made its way to downtown Des Moines a couple years ago. El Guapo's Tacos and Tequila. Listening to Chase tell the story how much tequila that they're selling now is... During this, the government has made it easy to do that. That's amazing.
The Royal Downs family hit that one up too and had the had the margaritas to go along with it.
That's good.
And AD and Judy, they're starting their own podcast together.
No.
As they're holding up together. Yeah, I listened to the first one the other night.
Couples that podcast together, Trent, you know the saying. The good folks at the Royal Mile, Des Moines' premier British pub, was part of it. The Club Car in West Des Moines, Sugar Shack, a staple in Altoona. They're trying to keep the doors open. Of course, Wellman's and what they're doing in conjunction with the food bank. It's just remarkable. But Annie, what Annie Baldwin and company are doing over there, of course, both of the Wellman's are going on and doing a terrific job. What else? They've got the Draft House on Court Avenue. They're in Johnston, Norwalk, West Des Moines, Waukee, and the Valley Pub on EP True. Captain Roy's down by Berland Park. Wade Thompson joined us. Health House Foods, they're combining with New York Pizza. They're over in the original Okoboji off of 86th in Johnston. LJ's Burgers and Ice Cream and the Stadium on Ingersoll. So we covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, TJ doing great work over there with the station on Ingersoll. Sports Pub, when they get back running right now, but they're also helping out inside the community at this point. Lola's?
Lola's Fine Kitchen. I forgot about Lola's in Ankeny.
Talked to Tafik over there along with his sister Hannah. That was really fun to talk about them up in your neck of the woods and doing some really good things and some family ideas that go along with it. Some healthier options too, which is always a good thing. Yeah, we'd love to beat the good tasty stuff all the time that maybe isn't the best for you, but also mixing in a salad from time to time.
Doesn't hurt.
Lola's will help you out with that. Fine dining up in
And they
Ankeny.
Have the cinnamon rolls, right?
Oh, yeah. Get the cinnamon rolls
Take
and then a salad for lunch.
Yeah, there you go. Salad for lunch, but to feed the kids the cinnamon rolls, pop them in the oven. Restaurant Radio, 1 week. We had a ball. We can't wait already. If you want to be a part of it, there's no cost, as Trent said. No cost, no catch. Come on. Share your story. We'd love to share it with our audience here. Miller and Condon will be back on Monday. Fanatics, they're coming up. Before that, Murph and Andy at 2, Fanatics at 4. Don't blink, the weekend will be over. But that's a good thing, because Murph and Andy, the Morning Rush will be on the air, and they take over at 6. You have a wonderful weekend.
Same to you. Enjoy all the takeout options we have out there.
And there are plenty of them. Restaurant Radio resumes next week. Miller and Condon, thanks for being with us. 1460 KXNO and 106.